I think that in the last generation, you know, what do you call that, 20, 30, 40, 50 years maybe, certainly, something major has happened to our culture in that. That kind of idea that was once taken for granted that, you know, hope was to do with beyond, which is like intrinsic to the whole view of society, that collapsed and it was replaced by all this, you know, much more buried and complex culture in which people were attaching their hopes to all kinds of things. You know, life is always complex because you always had both.
Mm.
But in a certain sense, I think that all the little hopes, which, you know, are bound to disappoint, you know, day to day, you know, on any given day, we might be driven forward by anything, whether it's desire for love or the desire for money or whatever. That, you know, life tells us, I think, any of us that have reached any certain age, you know that all these things ultimately disappoint. And there is a sense, I think, you know, that without the great hope, almost underwriting these little hopes, almost in the same way now as the Irish government underwrites all the banks, you know, that they will ultimately fail to satisfy us. And I think that fundamental idea is lost. They don't actually know why things are happening to them. They don't understand why they're feeling certain ways.
Yeah.
It's because that great hope has been taken from them.
Mm.
And they miss it, but they don't know what they're missing.
Mm. But is that not a little bit fatalistic to say that, you know, the things that we hope for, the little things, the everyday things, aren't really going to fulfill us? You know, I mean, maybe
no,
they do fulfill people.
They fulfill us in a short, in a certain way. But I think as you go through life, you realise certain things, you know, that... You know, you realise that material things don't satisfy you. You know, at a certain point, when you've had them for a certain time, of course we need money. Of course we need a decent... Everybody's entitled to have a decent standard of living. But the idea that you can invest your hope for the future purely in materialism is a total fallacy. Because, you know, ultimately, we're going to die. You know, that's real. That's for one thing. But even more so, I mean, if you take the idea of love, romance, I mean... I think, again, you know, real life tells us that, you know, this is an exciting promise. But in due course, things calm down.
Mm.
And then we're left with the relationship, which, you know, however rewarding it may be, does not answer the innermost desire, which it seemed to in the beginning.
Mm.
So, you know, each of these things, in a certain sense, disappoints. The market tells us something different. Advertising tells us something different. No. You see the advertising. All the advertising you see now. Actually, most products are not advertised with the product. They're advertised with the idea around the product, which is that they can make you happy.
Mm.
And I think we know that it doesn't. None of these things. And as you go older, I think, as well, there's a sense in almost of, you know, a certain, call them, atmospheric weight coming ever more strongly down upon us. When we realise, through, first of all, the trial and error process of realizing, you know, this didn't, as I thought, I thought this was going to be it, I thought this, and then it wasn't, and I thought this is it, no, it isn't. And then gradually you realize, and like, of course, what does our society do about that? It calls it depression. When in fact it is a natural organic response to reality, to the fact that, you know, each of us is primed with a desire for the infinite, which nothing can satisfy, nothing within sight can satisfy.
But do you think, I mean, for people who have practically on a day-to-day level lost their job, or, you know, maybe looking at losing their house or that type of thing, I mean, if they were given the choice, you can have what you had last year.
Yes.
Or you can have this sort of infinite hope. I think a lot of them would choose,
They would. But the question is, that's the culture of choice, because in a way they don't actually have any choice about that. You know, because the infinite hope has been rendered so kind of almost ludicrous in the culture. You know, it's almost like something you have to stretch to believe. You almost have to kind of, culturally speaking, you almost have to kind of like create a kind of sense of pretense in order to believe. You know, that isn't natural. I mean, the point about it is that what we call reason in our society, what we call rationality about our very kind of core natures, you know, it works on myths. You know, the idea that we are omnipotent, that we are going to live forever. This is these ideas are at the core of our culture. And what happens to people is that they believe them. And then they live their life, their human life, through that culture. And at a certain point, they realize that they have been in a, become superfluous to requirements because they no longer fit this omnipotent, immortal idea, which is at the core of the idea of the culture. Last year, it was a very interesting moment when Nuala Fuilam talked about, you know, her imminent death and the sense of despair that she articulated. But what was even more interesting than that was the sense of the silence that met it. There was a lot of platitudinous stuff about how courageous she was, how honest she was. But nobody was prepared to really look at what she was actually saying, which was that there is nothing. That our culture and the culture that she was speaking for was saying, there is nothing. The mystery, the great mystery of human life, of reality, it doesn't exist. It's an abyss.
So what is the infinite hope then?
But there is. How can you look into the stars and think an abyss? Mm. What has happened to our culture that it has jumped to that conclusion? Like, how can you look at everything that we know and decide that after this, there's nothing? I mean, that is not reasonable. And the idea that we have this, that this is rational, because we have created a form of rationality which is purely to do with demonstrability. What you can show, what you can prove, what is three-dimensional and can be seen and walked around. That's the core problem, that we have taken out of our culture all that is unknowable, all that is mysterious. We have written it off as nothing but darkness and abyss. That's not reasonable. And so, to go back to your question, which I'm not trying to avoid, about the person who loses their job, of course in this culture they are going to be cast into despair because this great hope has been removed. But if that hope could be restored, losing their job would not have the same meaning, because they would have a sense that there was a providence. There's a sense that, you know, that, okay, there's a meaning to this. There's a sense that, okay, I'm accepting this. And now let me see what's happened. What is the adventure that life is going to offer me next? You know, and each of us in our lives, you know, has terrible things happen to us. And I mean, if we approach it with that attitude, we survive. And we find, looking back, that actually our experience has vindicated our optimism, our hope.